Hello, my friends. Katie Day with the Movement to Texas team here with another episode of the Real Advice Podcast. Today, I am joined by my friend that is not wearing a parka, which is surprising to me because he is in upstate New York. What's going on, man? David Schwartz, how are you?
Thank you so much for having me on here, Katie. And yeah, I mean, the parka would have been appropriate. It was 21 degrees when I woke up today. And the heat was out in my house. So yeah, definitely a chilly morning to wake up.
What? That's crazy. Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully you're getting fixed. I mean, dude, it's like 45 here, and it's raining in 45, and like I had to take my dog on a walk in the rain over the weekend. It was terrible. So I'm like just hoping that it lets up before I have to take her on one of those today. So we'll see.
I'm so lucky I have an American bulldog now. Her walking threshold is so little. That like she, and whenever it rains, she's such a princess. She's like, nope, I'll go out, I'll do it, I'll run right back in. So like we're good there, but I can totally relate to that with some previous breeds I had. Absolutely.
Well, and this one enjoys, she doesn't even really care about the rain, so like I'll let her out and be like, all right, you know, go, like do your thing, and she just like, she'll just sit down and just like stare out into the yard. So it's definitely kind of annoying.
Right. Hurry up.
Dry her off. Yeah so All good.
Awesome.
Cool. So for those that may not know you, David, who are you and how did you get into real estate?
Well, my name is David Schwartz. I am from upstate New York. I kind of got into real estate by chance. I had worked after college in medical supplies in a variety of tasks, just kind of rising the corporate ladder, and had a problem with it because my brother's a type 1 diabetic. When I saw what the industry was charging for diabetic test strips and what we were actually able to buy them for, there was such a disparity there. And it was hard to sleep at night. The money was good. You know, it was exciting. It was a great place to work, but there was something missing in my life. And I came home for a summer to upstate New York and my parents were like, dude, you know, like we're getting older. And I went to visit my grandfather who's 20 years older than my dad and he had dementia. It just kind of was an aha moment for me where I realized I'd been gone for 10 years. And I was like, you know what? I got to come home. Even if it's just for a summer, I got to come home and just kind of spend some time with my family. So I quit my job literally the next day. I was like, you know what, guys, I got 2 weeks, I'm out. And I came home. Now, I had this huge network of medical supplies, you know, distributors and manufacturers. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to start a business up here. And I was really doing my due diligence, you know, trying to figure out how practical it was in my area. And I kept coming across hurdles. And a family friend who was a top producing residential agent was like, hey, she saw me at the gym every day. And she's like, dude, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, well, I'm getting ready to start a business. She's like,
I'm in between things right now.
And she's like, you know, my assistant just quit. My right hand just told me she's pregnant. She's like, I'm losing my mind. Like my hair's on fire. Like I need your help. Like, can you give me a couple hours a week? And I'm like, of course I got you. And this is again, a family friend who I'd known my whole life. And she was like the name in my town. And I think it was like the third day I was there. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, I went on Facebook and it was an aha moment for me. I looked on Facebook and LinkedIn and only three people I went to high school with were realtors. Now, when I was living in South Florida, most of my friends that were in the service decided, hey, like why sell drinks when we can sell houses? So it was like such a different mix of, you know, friends. And I got hooked. You know, immediately I was like, wow, like the average age of my office was 55. You know, I was at Coldwell Banker and I was like, oh my gosh, like there's so much opportunity here. And I jumped in with both feet. I shadowed Bonnie for my first year. She was awesome. She really was like a by the book, very polished residential expert. And it was intimidating because she knew all of my parents' friends and like her son and I grew up together. So like our spheres were so overlapping and I ended up falling into some multifamilies. What happened was there a family friend was looking for an investment property and I went to, you know, show her cousin a few. We ended up buying a couple. And in the process, I met a seller who was like, hey, like, I like how you talk to your clients. Would you be interested in helping me sell a few more properties? And it just started snowballing. And I think that year I sold, I think it was like 20 something two families. And it was, you know, that was my third year in the business. It didn't happen right away. You know, first I was just an assistant kind of shadowing and thinking I was going to be sweet. You know, I'm going to make it. And then Zillow was like, well, you're on a team. You don't get any sales. I'm like, whoa. Because at the time, you know, the way it was set up at Coldwell Banker, the team leader was listing agent one. I was listing agent two or seller agent two. And I got no cred. So when I went to sign up for a Zillow profile, I had zero sales. I said, I got to do this myself. And that second year, I think, was one of the hardest ones in my career to date. I really thought I was just going to get lucky. You know, I was like, you know what? I know everybody. I'm cool. I'm going to like do some handyman stuff, try to learn how to flip some houses, like help out. And it was painful. I think I only made $28,000. A family and then another friend from high school was in the Tom Ferry ecosystem, Mike Field. I love that guy. And he sat me down that fall. And then he's like, dude, what are you doing? Come work with me. I can get you to 40 deals. I'm like, 40 deals, dude. If you get me to 40 deals, I will do anything you tell me.
Yeah.
So that January, I switched over to his brokerage, Field Realty. And that's when the magic started for me. And it all started with making phone calls. You know, he's like, you got to make 25 phone calls a day. And I'm like, okay. I had no idea what I was saying. I was just calling anyone. I was literally just like throwing against the wall and just like, some days I'd make 100 calls. I had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But at least I had a direction, right? And Mike's a top producer to this day. He still is close to 100 deals by himself. He's got a great team. Like, they're definitely a known team in our industry. And that February, I was supposed to go with him to a Sales Edge, my first Tom Ferry event ever. Now, you know, I was like, oh, like, it's so exciting. Well, Mike had a family emergency and couldn't go. So all of a sudden, I'm by myself driving to Brooklyn. Like, what is this about? Like, I've never been to a real estate coaching thing. And that morning, before it started, I met Phil Gerdes and Bill Pipes. And it was
what
just
a combo.
Like, so, it was, yeah, like, I'm sitting there early and I'm saying, hey, guys, like, I have like this peanut butter and jelly with me. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. Like, this is tough. Like, little did I know these two guys are going to turn into such inspirations for me. And from that Sales Edge, I started making 25 calls with intention, you know, starting to go after some scripts, starting to start to say the same stuff, ask the same questions, starting to follow some protocols. And it was painful because I had made a commitment that year that if I didn't make money by August, that I was going to go back to healthcare because I had found a woman that I wanted to marry who I married last month. And I was like, you know what? I can't be supporting a family making $28,000 a year. Just, it's not feasible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was in February. Then 60 days later, it was the end of April. You know, it was my birthday and I'm not gonna lie, I was in tears. I was in Mike's office. I'm like, dude, I'm calling everybody. I'm doing everything I need to do. And like, it's not happening. Like I've never been more frustrated in my life. And Mike said, don't quit before the miracle happens. And I'll never forget this to this day. Cause I left there just kind of like, you know what? I'm not gonna quit. In that May, I pended 6 deals. That June, it was 11. And I've kind of been off the races ever since. And it's largely in part to the support, but it all kind of happened by chance. You know, I never thought when I was like moving back here for a summer that I'd be living here now 8 years later and being a realtor. It's just, it's kind of crazy how it all kind of snowballed.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that resonate with me with what you just said. And one of them is like, I'm sure you've seen that, like, it's not really a meme, but the graphic where it's like the person that's like, you know, digging underground to get to the treasure and like they stop right before they hit the treasure. Right. And that's like how I feel like real estate is. Just it being such a numbers game of like, you have to talk to so many people and so many agents give up. Right. And like, luckily Mike saw that in you that was like, dude, like keep pushing. Cause like you're very close. You're doing the right things. You know, you had kind of a winding path to get to where you are today. If you were a brand new agent today, like, you know, obviously I'm a proponent of like, you know, everything happens for a reason. It happens in the time frame it should and all that type of stuff. How would you have done things differently or set up your career differently from day one, you know, with the hindsight you have now and the vision you have now?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And I think about that a lot. You know, working with a lot of new agents, I always try to like give them my 2 cents. Find a mentor that's doing business how you want to do business. Because while Bonnie was a great way for me to get into the business and I loved working with her, we had very different personality styles. She was 100% referral. She wasn't really prospecting. So I wasn't getting that part of the business by example. I was learning how to do white glove service, how to cater to referrals, how to get the continued referrals, but I wasn't learning how to generate business. So I think the first thing you got to do is, you know, find a mentor, find someone who's where you want to be. And like, it, who knows how that is. And like, it can start with your brokerage. It can start with your team leader. It can be someone outside of your brokerage. Just find someone that has the type of business that you want and ask them to mentor you. I think that's the first and foremost thing, you know, because if you're not being led, you're going to waste a lot of time thinking you know better, reading a lot of books, you know, watching a lot of YouTube videos and feeling really productive without necessarily taking the actions to be productive. And, you know, the second thing I would say to that is the number one job you have as a realtor is lead generation. I didn't appreciate that at all for my first years in the business. I was like, oh, like I know so many people. Like, oh, I'm popular. I'm going to get all these deals. And I wasn't focused on generating business. So that way, when I had a buyer, if maybe they weren't ready yet, I was treating them as if I needed them to buy tomorrow because I was so desperate for commission. And I might have pushed them away. Same with a seller. You know, you meet with someone who's thinking about selling their house, but maybe they're 18 months out. You need to treat them very differently than someone who needs to sell their house in the next 30 days. So that's, I would say those two things are definitely the first two things I would focus on.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I think that the timing piece of it, you know, when we start to look back at our CRM, we start to look back at the people that we're working with and homes we're listing today, I'm like, some of those people, most of those people I started talking to anywhere between 12 to 24 months before they actually end up transacting, right? And it's like this kind of long game of follow-up, and it is a sales cycle. I mean, a lot of people always want to say, oh, well, I'm not salesy, or oh, I don't want to be a salesperson or whatever. Like, whether or not you claim that title, like, there's still the sales side of this business that, you know, a lot of people fail to focus in on, right? So I know that you built a lot of your business on expireds and FSBOs and like cold calling, right? Kind of in the beginning. You know, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, let's do it. So what's actually funny when I say cold calling, I remember I tried calling for sale by owners. I had gone to a Mike Ferry clinic when I was a Coldwell banker, and they were all about for sale by owners. And I got my face smashed repeatedly and my ego destroyed by these callers. I did not know what to say. I did not know how to say it. And it was so difficult that I stopped. And to be honest with you, I haven't made for sale by owners or expired calls except for that one like 60 day period in my first year and a half of being in the business. Instead, I chose to call people I know, people who I were acquaintances with, people who were acquaintances of an acquaintance, and kind of learning how to network and build those relationships from the ground up. I heard something during a Pivot conference. It was like in August after the COVID shenanigans, or April. And someone said, you don't deserve to get a referral unless you've spoken to that person twice within 90 days. And I was like, oh my God, like that's huge. And I was like, I'm thinking about this all wrong. And when COVID hit, you know, at least in New York, we were in a lockdown. Like, it was like a whole different world. So it was so much easier for me to call and say, hey, how are you doing? How's your business? How can I help you? And just having some of those kind of awkward conversations that I was like kind of telling myself were awkward. Mm-hmm. Generally, people are flattered when they get called out of the blue. They might not be prepared to talk to you, but at least they're flattered. And I've kind of made it my business to be that person who kind of networks and kind of has those awkward conversations, as opposed to having the for sale by owners and expired conversations.
Well, and I think that that's really big, and something that we really did a lot of back in 2020, right? Just having those conversations to catch up with people. And, you know, obviously the market had some to do with how well real estate was doing in 2020 and 2021, right? But I also think that the amount of referrals that we received from our past clients, from our sphere, from people that we knew, was because, you know, we were having those conversations, just catching up. There wasn't any sales behind it. It was really, how are you? How's the family? How's dealing with the kids being at home, stuff like that. And so now, you know, I think some people have lost that a little bit, right? So leaning back into that, especially as we're in a changed and changing market.
Absolutely. And I would actually build on that. You know, you've said sales a few times, and yes, we are absolutely helping people sell properties. Let's not get that misled at all. But I would argue that, and actually add on to that, saying it's also service, right? And whether you're doing the service, if you're doing enough service, and you're really putting the customer first, and you're having conversations, and you're making it about them. You know, you said something that also resonated with me, that a lot of the listings you're dealing with are, you know, from the last 24 months. I agree. You know, I was just doing my business plan. I looked at my conversion this year. I'm like, whoa, like, why is my conversion, you know, less than 50%? Well, it was less than 50% of people that I got on the market and sold. But then I looked at how many people are in the incubation stage. And I was like, oh my God, I'm really closer to like 70, 80%. But it's that those people are just, they're not ready yet. And then job is to follow up and keep them informed, because there's nothing worse. And I know you can relate to this. There's nothing worse than going on a listing appointment, being like, I vibe with you so hard, and then be like, I can call them next week, I can call them next month. And then you see it for sale on Zillow or on your website, and you're like,
yeah, oh, crap.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think it's also hard too in this industry is, you know, at least for me, one of my biggest fears was not knowing enough, right? I was like, how can I help these people if I don't know? And I think there's a beauty in the humility that comes with a little of experience in this business, is that you can know a lot and you're still going to get your mind blown almost every single day. you know, and there's no substitution for conversations and appointments, you know, and I think the more you go on, the more you learn. And it's funny, I was so scared to fail, but every single time I failed, the failure was such a great opportunity to learn. And those failures I remember way more vividly than the easy ones, right? Like the one you walk up and you just hit it out of the park. You're like, oh, that was great. Like, I wish they were all like this. But I would argue that like the ones that you fall on your face have such a bigger impact on your future in this business. And people are so scared. I know I was to fail. It's definitely what held me back at first.
Yeah.
It really wasn't until I met my wife, you know, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm not just a 30-year-old bachelor who has my own house. Like now I want to have a family. I want to do certain things in my life. And before I met her, like I could go for broke. Like what was the worst that happened?
Yeah.
I sell my house. Like, ooh, now it's like, oh my God, like I want to be financially secure. I want to build passive wealth. You know, I want to build so much more. And it's interesting because you got to find your why. Right. And we haven't talked about that, but I think that's a huge part about being successful. And it can't just be money. It can't be like, oh, I just want to make a lot of money. Everyone wants to make money.
What are you going to do with that? Yeah. What is that impact going to have?
Like, oh, I want to make money. Like, no, what does that have to do with anything? Like, stop it. You know, like it can't be about that. It's got to be about something more. It's got to be about adding value, whether it's to you or to others or both. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's hard to really get vulnerable like that. And that's where it's so important to have the right mentorship and the right people to surround yourself with. You know, you've done a really good job of connecting with people and starting masterminds. And it's one of the reasons why we're here today, right? Is like you connected with me those years ago and it was like, oh my God, Katie Day, like, woohoo. And I think that like, you know, when you surround yourself with people who are going to, you know, challenge you and raise the bar and make your life more fulfilled and, you know, give you access to what works for them, it just gives you inspiration. It makes it feel attainable. Right. And I think that a lot of people try to do it on their own and it's dangerous to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you mentioned earlier, like being scared as a new agent of like, maybe I don't know enough or maybe, you know, I don't know what to say or what to do. And I think one of the things that we always tell agents on our team that have, because almost everyone, every new agent has that fear, is that even a brand new licensed agent day one, you know more than most people, most general consumers in the marketplace. You know, obviously there are some that buy a home every year and they study market reports and they have all this data and whatever, but most consumers move every 5 to 10 years, right? And so, you know, you being as educated as you are about the home buying or home selling process is generally more than most consumers. And I think the other thing too is it's okay sometimes to say, hey, I'm not sure, but I'll find out and let you know later today, right? And that's like, people always want to think that they have all of the answers. And it's okay to say, hey, David, I'm not sure on that one. Let me write that down and I'll get back to you. You know, that's not a problem.
You know, I love that. You know, it's funny you bring that up because there's a grace to that too, you know, and I thought I had to know everything, right? And it's only in the last like year or two that I realized that people just want to be heard. They want to be reassured. And even though you might not know everything, you have the time to go figure it out, right? Like someone who's working full time, who's in the process of packing, who's like trying to figure out their mortgage, who's trying to look for homes and discuss it with their partner and their kids. And, you know, they have so much responsibility. Whereas you as a newer agent, you have so much freedom. And that's such a, you know, time is one of the few things in life that, you know, as you get bigger and you get older, you appreciate so much more. So what I like to do is stack on top of that also, like, don't be afraid to tell them like you have the time to research, you know, and say,
yeah,
you know, let's sharpen the pencil on this. Or, you know, I didn't consider that. Let me get back to you on that. That's a very good point. You always want to reassure someone and do not BS them. You know, everyone feels like you almost have to have this like slick salesman. And that's what gives sales such a bad rep is that quick rebuttal. Right. And to your point, it's all right to say, you know what? I hadn't considered that. Let me figure that out for you and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that kind of humility also lets someone know that they were heard. And I think that being heard and feeling heard is more important than getting an answer that's right off the cuff. And I also like, you know, asking open-ended questions. And I try to teach agents how to do that, right? Where you're like when someone gives you an objection or they give you something, you guys say, tell me more, you know,
getting more information,
more of an idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because the more you can get someone to relax, the more you can get them to open up, the more opportunities you'll have to realize how you can really help them.
We do a ton of role play with our team. And a lot of times you know, when we give an objection, they'll just hop right into like going for the appointment or going for the whatever. I'm like, no. Like, what's the next question or two that you can ask to uncover more information, right? And that's because the more you know about what their objection truly is, I think the easier it is to solve it or to come to a resolution or to help them, right? And so asking those questions and uncovering more information is always helpful. All right, I want to switch gears a little bit. So
let's do it.
You know, I think that all of that's great. I think that focusing in on service is super important. And I always say sales in the, like, I think of real estate as like sales, marketing, and ops, right?
Sure.
And so, you know, I think a lot of people focus in on not all three, right? They focus a lot in on the marketing. And that's kind of where I want to switch gears to, right?
Absolutely.
As far as content and content marketing, because I know you did your video journey this past year of 365 videos, one video a day. And first of all, that's insane. That's absolutely insane. You know, I laughed every day I saw it. I was like, dude, he's still doing it. I love it. I love it.
Me too.
Tell me a little bit about where that came from.
Sure.
And yeah, so where did it come from?
All right. So I was hanging out with Matt Bear at Summit. What was it? 2021.
The Brit Bear. Okay.
The Brit Bear, my man. And, you know, we had had a bet between us who was going to lose more weight before Summit, and he won. And it made me so angry because I realized that I didn't put my health first. And I was like, you know what? I'm golfing with him, Robert Mack, and like Ryan. These guys are all healthy talking about vegetables. And I felt out of place, like wanting a Big Mac. And then, you know, so I was kind of in like the dumps there. And Matt says to me the next day, he's like, you know, we should really do a video a day for a year. I bet you would get us both on the stage at Summit. And I'm like, okay, like I'm in, like, let's make a bet on this. He's like, all right, bet. And I was like, I was nervous. Like his level of confidence was a 10. Mine was like a 5, but I was like, just not going to lose because I just lost this like weight thing. And
yeah. I mean, I'm recalling seeing your videos every day.
So he dropped off after like 20 days.
I was like, but I had no idea that the Brit Bear was involved in this.
So
in this,
he dropped off after 20. He had a lot going on in his life, and he dropped off. And you know what? It was almost like better for me to not be competing and comparing myself. Because then from that point on, I mean, the journey of doing a video a day taught me so much more than just video. It's ironic. I never thought that by doing a challenge like that, I would learn how to speak my mind and how to be direct. You know, you start off in this video challenge, right? And you do a lot of content, so I'm sure you can relate to this. You start off trying to be like people you admire, right? Like you'll see an idea and you're like, oh, I can do their script. I can use a teleprompter. I can use their background. You know, I need the right tech. And you lean on all these different instruments to try to give you that confidence, right? And then, you know, I'd say after about 30 days in, 60 days in, I was like, all right, I can start doing it my own way, right? You know, there was a lot that happened in my life in this last year, and there was a lot of excuses not to do it, but I kept doing it. And let me tell you this, I didn't necessarily go viral. I didn't get, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. But, you know, when I was talking to Tom actually about this once, he goes, you know what, when you have 500 views, think about how long it would take you to call 500 people. And that was one of the biggest aha moments I had. So then I stopped being, you know, almost salesy in my video and started being myself and trying to be relevant with certain stuff, but also give people an idea of what I was thinking and what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always about real estate. And I, you know, because when I try to make it only about real estate, it gets boring.
Like, oh, God, no, it's the worst. It's the worst.
My friends,
like,
that are
now I'm
going to
talk
me,
about,
like,
you know, yeah.
Like they don't care. Like 30 days of terms, like that's great. They've seen it move on. You know, like a 1031, cool beans, bro. A seller concession, gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's so crazy how much of an impact it had on my sphere. You know, did I get a lot of referrals directly from my videos? No. But every single time I went on an appointment, people were like, oh my God, I love your videos. Are you going to do a video about this? Like, and it's, it changed so much of how I viewed video production. It made me much more aware. And by the end of it, I was so sick of doing videos because it was like I had lost my passion. I had gone too much in it. And now I have more of a plan to go forward into 2023 with intentional videos, but my fear is completely gone. And I would recommend this to anybody because not only did you give every single person who follows me knows me now. It's crazy. Like they ask me about my chickens. They ask me about like my house, but it's more so that you find out how to have your own voice. And I think that that was the biggest thing for me, that I thought I knew my voice. I thought I had that ability, but now I never worry if I'm saying the right thing anymore. I used to like, oh, if I give my opinion, is my opinion grounded, like based on fact? Is it based on opinion? Like I was always second guessing myself. And I would say that like the journey was so inspirational to myself and who I am as a person. And it made me much more confident and secure.
So one thing I always tell people with content is honestly to not do what you did. Right. Cause like people, I mean, and I know it's floated around the Tom Ferry world and other worlds as well, of like 30 videos in 30 days. Right. It was like kind of the basis of it. And what happens for a lot of people is they finish those 30 days like, oh, holy shit, I'm done. Oh, I don't have to do any more videos. And then they don't do any for 6 months or however long that it is. And so I always tell people, if it's shooting one a week for a month and that's what you can do, then do that. And then layer in a second video and then layer in a third and then layer in other forms of content and stuff like that. And then the other thing too, is like you said, like, oh, I just saw David do this video on, you know, whatever, I'm going to do the same one. And then I shoot it and it's just like, not me. Right. It's not, it's super awkward because I'm literally saying what you said. It's just not me. So what I do is I always just write down the idea. So like when you were doing that, you would say some things. I was like, oh, like I haven't talked about that in a while. So I would write down, you know, blah, 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 real estate, da, 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 whatever. Same. And then when I go to shoot it, it's like, okay, I remembered some of what he talked about, but what am I going to say? And then I look in the camera and I talk. Right. And so I think that that's where we get into this like real estate bubble. Right. And so that's where I love that you, you know, then once you found your voice a little bit, started to lean in on more personal stuff and your journey and different things. Cause like, that's the stuff that like people really resonates with people. Right. And they feel connected to. And, you know, that's where then you start to create your own voice, you know, within that journey. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you say that because it's, you want to do the real estate video because you want people to think of you as a realtor. Right. But what I found was like when I did one in front of a local ski shop where I bring my skis every year, like that got more shares, more hearts, more comments, more likes, and ultimately more people in front of me than any of my videos that were about real estate, you know. And something, it was funny, like towards the last 60 days, I really started to think, all right, so this is kind of tiring. How would I do this if I didn't have to do one every day? And I think that was, I had never considered that because before it was always like, oh, I have these great ideas. I'm going to do these huge campaigns. I'm going to do all this magical stuff. Right. And even to that point, people were like, oh, I was kind of disappointed that your 365th video wasn't this like bananas video. Yeah. And I was like, it wasn't about that. To me, it was a competition to myself to see if I could do it. And now that I've done it, the plans I have going forward are much more, to your point, operationalized, because we don't, I was way too focused on the marketing aspect and not the sales or the operations behind it. Yeah. Now that I've had a little bit of, I've stepped back from it, you know, like I came out of this challenge. I got married like a week later. I went on my honeymoon, you know, life got crazy. You know, I come back and I'm like, oh my God, my pipeline is not where it needs to be. I took, you know, so it's like I had to look at my life and say, what's more important right now? Shooting content or getting a plan together that's duplicatable, scalable, and something that I can execute on at a high level. And I'm so excited for what 2023 has in store because I have those plans now. I've gone through a content calendar.
Yeah.
Fearless. Whereas like the thought of doing one of those before this challenge, I mean, I would sit there and be like, oh, Mondays I'm going to do market updates. Tuesday are tips. Wednesdays are, you know, and it was like, it was so disingenuous to who I am. And it's, you never know what's going to happen from a video, right? Like I did one about gratitude and just being grateful to people. And if you're struggling, doing gratitude lists, right? And I can't tell you how many people have reached out to me in the last 30 days saying, hey man, you know, I saw this video a while ago when you're talking about these gratitudes. Can you talk to me? I'm kind of struggling right now.
And then you journal every day, don't you?
Yeah, every day. And I am a TF guy. So I use my gratitude journal.
Yeah. I
love it.
That's what's so funny about social too, though, is like I've seen you, right, with like your coffee and your, you know, gratitude journal, just like, you know, knocking stuff out or whatever. So those are the things that resonate with people, right?
And it sets you apart, right? Like everyone does listing videos. Everyone does, you know, quotes and, you know, I like something that Jeremy Knight said, you know, when you're doing local news about stuff that impacts your real estate, like that to me was a huge takeaway that I knew I couldn't do my run and gun style of video doing, you know? Yeah. So then I was like, all right, like let's spend 90 days kind of looking at what goes on. What's the typical news cycle in the Albany Business Review? Like let's try to get connected with some of the people who are publishing the content. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about going into the new year, because now that you've done, you know, when you're really, it's funny when you think about acting or you think about being, you know, like in a play or something, you're like, people have to like learn who they are. And you look at some of these big actors and they've changed who they are throughout the course of their career. Right. And you always hear them being introspective, whether it's like Matthew McConaughey, you know, Brad Pitt, like going from being like the pretty boy to then doing like Fight Club to doing what he does now. It's just like,
he's still pretty.
There's an evolution to it. Right. And on a smaller scale, because I'm by no means a professional actor, I kind of felt that too with video. Right. It got to the point where I was just like, I just got to get it done today. Like, I'm just going to like, what is important to me today? Like, and I've always admired your operations and your execution because yours are so well polished. You know, I look at yours and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like my light's terrible. I got my hair like to the left, you know, like I'm not dressed cool. I'm wearing like paint on my face because I was working on my lake house and like, you know, but that's who I am. And I think that, you know, when you're yourself consistently, you don't have to pretend to be someone else. And I think that that was such a blessing to come out of this. You know, my dad had to have heart surgery. And when I found that out that day, like I didn't want to talk and do a video.
Yeah.
I was devastated. You know, it's same with like when I had COVID, you know, there's certain times where I was like, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But I got to, right? Because I've made a commitment. And I think that whether it's doing videos, whether it's making your phone calls, whether it's, you know, going on appointments, like you have to make certain commitments to be successful in anything. And, you know, fortunately for me, you know, a side note from that whole video thing was I signed up for coaching with Rob Mack's Wife for Health, because after being there and being the guy who wanted Big Mac, when these three guys were talking about like broccoli, like they're like, oh, I could go for Rob Mack was like, I would love some papaya. Right? And like, they were losing their minds over fruit. And I'm like, I need a Pepsi and like a Big Mac right now. Like this is hot. And you know, a year later, I'm much healthier. My life's so much better. And I think that to that point, like whoever you surround yourself with, you're going to grow with, right? And you get limited by yourself. So, you know, don't isolate. And whether that's, you know, if you want to do videos, connect with people like Katie Day, you know, connect with people who are doing videos, right? If you want to get into calling your sphere, call me, you know, like there's, everyone's got their own bag of tricks and you can be like other people, but you're not going to do it the same way.
No, for sure. For sure. I would completely agree with that. And yeah, Robert Mack has an odd obsession with fruit. We can dig into that at a later date, probably not on 100%. This podcast, cause that would take a very long time. So I don't want to go
bananas.
It's literally bananas how much he talks about fruit, but you know,
and it's sincere. It's genuine. Funny, that's the weird part. It's not like, I thought he was sarcastic when he was doing that for, no, it's passion.
Funny story. So the new phones, you know how they're like maybe a little bit more magnetic than the old phones, the iPhones.
Sure.
And so he has a wallet that it's a magnet wallet on the back of his phone. And I was recently out in Orange County and he came to meet us for dinner. And he says, when he gets home, he takes his wallet and he puts it on his fridge. And he forgot his wallet for dinner. So I had to pay for his parking. So I was giving him a hard time. And then I got a new phone the next week and I multiple times forgetting my wallet. So I had to get a sticky wallet for the back of my phone. So that's karma? My Robert Mack story. Yeah, no, it's totally karma. I like literally walked in for breakfast at like a networking event and I placed my order and they're like, all right, you know, that'll be $22. I'm like, I'll be right back. And I had to go to like one of my friends that was at the breakfast. I was like, hey, can I borrow your debit card? Like I had to run it for breakfast. So yeah, that's my most recent Robert Mack story, but he's a great guy. I love the content journey. I can't wait to see what your content looks like into the new year, because I know after shooting that much content and getting that comfortable talking to camera and coming up with ideas and scripting and just how you want to say things in your voice, I know that it's going to be a fun journey to watch kind of unfold. And I think that's really what you just have to, when you're making content or when you're doing anything in real estate, just really keep that in mind, that what you're doing today is not going to be the same thing you're doing tomorrow or 6 months from now or a year from now. So I'm really excited.
Something I would, you know, and I am too. And, you know, it's funny. Someone asked me, who do you want to be and the community, right? And it was, I think it was Pantana said it on one of the things, like, you want to be like the mayor of your community. And I thought I did. Now I'm like, I don't know if I want to be the mayor. I want to be the person that, you know, I am so passionate about where I live. I love so many aspects of it. I grew up in this area, you know, and it's, I think you're going to see a lot more of that and what's really important about why I love this area in my future videos, you know. And I hope, my hope is to bring awareness to certain businesses, to certain places, to certain things that really make me proud to be from upstate New York.
For sure.
You know, and it's funny, as the market shifted too, you know, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, you talked about that briefly, and you know, that on top of getting married, on top of, you know, there was a lot going on in my life, and I came out of it kind of in the beginning of November, like, oh my gosh, like, I felt like a new agent. I looked at my pending sales. I looked at my pipeline. Like, yes, I had people that were like 18, 6 months out, but I didn't have a lot of buyers, and I just had to go back to the mattresses, as they would, you know, like, you just got to like get after it. And I think that it's really easy to get distracted in life. Right. And I had this conversation with someone a couple of days ago. It's, you know, the trick isn't to do everything perfect every day. You know, like, you're going to, your schedule is going to vary. You're going to mess up. Right. But own your mistakes, and it's okay to fall down a few stairs. Try to stop yourself from falling more than a few flights.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and
a little stumble here and there is okay, but
I don't know how you run the team that you do. You know, a big part about me right now is, you know, at Keller Williams, they really preach, you know, the different team models. And I've been really interested in this. I've really been learning about this and really taking the time to kind of build my vision before just jumping into it. And it's been a blessing because as you, like, how many people are on your team right now?
Right now, as of today, we've got, I think, 20 right now.
We're
in the process of onboarding. We're in the process of onboarding a few. So that's why I was like trying to add up in my head how many people just joined.
Crazy. Like, that's so inspiring. Cause like, you've only been in the, how long have you been in the business now?
Full-time since 2017.
Yeah. You're operational. You are a role model for people like me trying to be an operator. And I just want you to know, I admire you so much for that. You know, your execution and when, like, it's so inspiring, and it's been great to be on this, have the opportunity to be on this podcast with you. Cause I do look up to you and I do admire you a lot, Katie.
I appreciate that. I'll send you your Venmo later today. thanks for the kind words.
I'll save it for breakfast in Vegas. No.
All right. So speaking of breakfast in Vegas, okay. I'm going to hit you with a hard hitting question that a lot of people don't know the answer to. If it were your last meal on earth, what would you be eating?
Oh, all day. I'd be eating breakfast. I love
would
breakfast.
It be?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be going eggs, bacon, a little bit of toast, probably a Belgian waffle on the side, nice coffee, big glass of water. That's it. You know, it's funny. My whole life, whenever I would be dieting or, you know, not take care of my, even when I was in college, I'd be up super late. What would get me out of bed in the morning was a promise of a good breakfast. I'd be like, oh, like, I'll wake up early and go to the library, or I'll make it to work early, but I'm going to stop and get breakfast first. And it was always That's funny. So my last meal would absolutely be breakfast.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. You get the salty sweet. You get the whole smorgasbord.
No, I love a good breakfast. A few of us on like Sunday mornings after the gym, we'll go to get breakfast. And of course, like right after you work out, it's like everything you said, plus the grits, plus maybe we'll have a plate of pancakes we're going to split or a waffle. It just like, it's like there's no point in going to the gym, or I guess that's the reason why we went to the gym, was to counteract, you know, the
I call my wife a Spartan because she CrossFits, and she's just like so inspiring how she does it like 6 to 7 times a week, and every Saturday she goes to get like the best brunch with her squad. And I like, when I go, I'm like, well, I guess I'm the chubby husband, like just kind of sliding in, you know. And it's so funny because it's true. Like when you go to the gym and you really earn it, you don't feel as guilty. Whereas like me, I'm like, yeah, do I really want that? All right, I'll have a little bit.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, are you still going to the gym all the time?
Trying to. Yeah. Most days.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on today. It was good catching up a little bit, hearing about your journey. Wish you nothing but success moving forward.
Thank you.
And, you know, thanks for joining today, man.
Absolutely. If I can ever help you or anyone, you guys can always reach out to me. Instagram, I'm Schwartz Sells Homes. And yeah, you guys can look me up, get in touch with me. And if I can ever help any of you, let me know. Thank you so much, Katie.
Perfect. Talk to you soon.
Later.